prayed about this, and I did actually wonder why I put my name down against this one as a possibility, but I did, I admit. And I felt, as Louise says, it was good to go back and recap. I just want to say I have thoroughly enjoyed this sermon series. That this has impacted me and my life, genuinely moved me on with God. And so I'm very, very grateful for it. I'm only sorry I missed two of them. But if we have a look back, Louise started by outlining what worship was. And then we kind of moved into looking at laws and sacrifices. And so what I picked up from that was, you know, we've really got to get it into our hearts and our minds, just who God is and actually how enormous and holy he is. And then we looked at what happens when we worship something else other than God. And I liked Louise's start on that. She says, basically, it's death, as the Bible points out. But actually, you know, on a realistic scale, it is so easy for us to worship other things, for other things, everyday things, to get between us and God. And then we looked at how worship is modeled by Jesus. And Heather, she basically set a challenge to us all to give God some quality time every day. I'm not going to ask for hands raised because maybe not all of you were there, but that was a real challenge. You know, spend some quality time with God. And whenever you do, he always gives back in great measure. And then Dan looked at how we might sing in worship. And actually, that it's not about the noise that comes out of our mouths, thank goodness. It's about the heart from which it comes from. And that is so important. Because I love to sing to God. Sometimes I can sing in key, if the Spirit's willing. But other times, when I just go for it, I can sound like a cat being strangled. But you know what? To God, if I'm singing to him, it sounds wonderful to him. And that's fabulous, because that means I'm free to sing to him. So that's about our heart and our heart cry. It's about taking our eyes off ourselves and just focusing on him. Louise looked at how we might move in worship. We were at Soul Survivor at the time, and this is how we were moving. Except I weren't very much, because I'm not very good at bouncing. But it was good, wasn't it, Lois? Lois did a bit of bouncing. Yeah, it was good. But basically, in talking to Louise about what she covered with that, what I picked up from it, and actually what God had said to me as I was walking through this, was move like nobody else is watching. Give your lives truly to God, and don't look what anybody else is doing. Just do what you feel is worship to him. Then we looked at what God wants from our worship, and Alan basically put that God wants us to be in the right, him to be in his rightful position, and us to be in our rightful position towards him. He wants that intimacy with us. He wants us to know him like he already knows us. Basically, we need to take our eyes off ourselves. Colin looked at how does God use worshippers, and I loved this because he said, when we worship under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this results in God bringing about the miraculous, because God invites us, the everyday person, to join him in the supernatural realm. So can worshiping align our hearts with God? I'd say yes, so long as it's about him and not about us. Dan covered worship in spirit and truth last week. And there was a strong element on getting the truth of who God is. That we can worship where we are because we have the Spirit within us. But it's knowing that He is God and the only God. And the harsh truth that's in that, actually. So where did I start? Singing with all your hearts and living with all your lives. I kind of sat with God and went, we've covered so much. What more is there? And God simply said, go do it. Just go do it. I thought, so that's it. And I sat with that for quite a while. But over the course of these weeks, I have to say, at the beginning, when Louise first preached and outlined kind of what worship is and where worship started, when we were singing, because the obvious thing for a lot of us is worship is when we sing, I couldn't sing the songs, because the songs that night were all about, I will put you first, I will do this. And I've sung these so many times and I haven't changed. I've said I'll do this. I say this every week, these songs, and actually I'm not doing it. And I found I couldn't sing the words. And I know Colin said in his that he sings the songs inspirationally, with a hope that he'll catch up with those words. And I think that's a good start. But I think the truth of it is that it's about that connection with the Holy Spirit in us and just let the Holy Spirit sing, because He means those words. He can mean those words. And then we can allow the Holy Spirit to change us. And so I've tried that. And I can genuinely say that when we turned up to Soul Survivor and the first songs came, this is the youth camp for anybody who doesn't know what Soul Survivor is. The band kicked off. And within seconds, they were pogoing on the stage, like, and the children were just bounce, bounce, bounce. And I was like, how am I going to worship in this? It's like a disco. And so I stood there and I was like, God. And within seconds, I had tears running off my chin. Because He was there. Those kids were just awesomely, just lost in abandonment, dancing and singing to God. So, yeah, I can worship amongst that, which, you know. And then we went on holiday to Lincoln. And we were there over a Sunday, so we looked for a church on the internet, and we ended up in an independent church in Market Raisin in a little town hall. And it was just at the end of there, they'd done 3 weeks of a kids club for local holidaymakers and local people. And they were buzzing in this little church hall with lots of pictures of what the kids had been doing. And it was really lively. They'd got lots of volunteers. There was not one there was one volunteer under the age of 50, and she was about 13. The rest of them were all over 50. And they'd clearly been totally just full of the Lord for these children. And we looked around, and there was no band. No band whatsoever. And then we realized worship was just CD and words on the thing. And so you're a bit, I was really hoping there'd be some, because it read a bit like an Elim Pentecostal church, so we thought it was going to be. And so I'm there, didn't know the song, but within the third line, I had tears running down my cheeks because the Holy Spirit was there. Those people were so alive for God, so in love with God, and I just got caught up. And some of those CDs were the naffest things. It was probably like stepping into the 70s, but you know what? The Holy Spirit was alive and full and awesome. So that's where God's taken me. He's taken my eyes off my own choice of musical style and said He'll still meet with me if I'll just turn my hands over and surrender my heart to Him. And God basically said to me, that to sing with all my heart is to sing like I'm saved, really saved. And to live with all my life, I am to give the full control to the Holy Spirit as I worship him in every day. Now, I like to look in the Bible to find a person who I can study and look at and see who's done these things, see, you know, what, can I get some inspiration? And I felt led to look at Hebrews 11, because I love that, where it talks about the faith of God's people. And I was drawn to Hebrews 11, verse 5, where it says, "By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without fail, it is impossible to please God." And this was the next bit that kind of really impacted me. "Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Now, that's in the NIV version. But where it says, "because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists," in the New King James, which is what I was reading at the time, it says, "must believe that he is." And I just pondered on that word, that he is. And what got spoken to my heart, and as I'm sitting this one with this one every day, is, do you believe I am who I say I am? And it was a challenge laid down to me by God. Do you believe that I am who I say I am? And that's basically what Enoch did. Enoch met with God. It tells us in the Old Testament, because this is way, you know, he was the seventh person, man born in the line. So you had Adam, Dufa, 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 Enoch, number seven. You're going to be impressed then if I remember them all. He was the father of Methuselah, who was the longest living man. So at 65, he had Methuselah, and then it says he walked with God for 300 years. And if I'm honest, sometimes I struggle to walk with God for 3 hours before I step off the path. But Enoch was a man who believed God was who God told him he was. And he walked with God just the same as, you know, as closely as anyone could. So to sing with all our hearts and to live with all our lives, I believe they flow together. If we are singing with all our hearts to God, then we will live with all our lives, because this is about surrender and being fully surrendered. And if you turn to Deuteronomy, so right early on, and we look at Deuteronomy 6, it's where we come to the commandments, the greatest commandment of all. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 to 9, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give to you today to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Now, I know in the Jewish tradition, part of their robes and their prayers, they do actually have these words in a box on their head, and they strap things to their hands. And we are not Jews, but this is where this starts. But then if we move into the New Testament and we go We'll go into Luke chapter 10. Of course, there are a couple of times we see in the Gospels where Jesus is asked what the greatest commandments were, and he repeats that same commandment. So in Luke chapter 10, if we start at verse 25, reading through to 28. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law," he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." It's not "remember this and you will live." It's "do this and you will live." If you read the rest of that chapter, it goes on to then define who the neighbor is. It talks about it includes the parable of the Good Samaritan and our neighbor being the person who we give mercy to, that we are to love everyone with mercy. So, to sing with all our hearts means to love with all our hearts and to love the Lord our God with everything. You know, with our hands as we do our work, with our mouths as we speak, with our minds as we think, with our strength as we work. Just everything, we are to love God. After looking at Enoch, I kind of thought, well, he was obviously a very special guy. And some people would say, well, back then, there wasn't a lot else to distract him. He didn't have TVs. He didn't have Facebook. But he had to survive, you know. Back then, it was, if you didn't dig the ground and plant the food, you didn't eat. But if we want to look at the disciples who, like us, everyday people, who were called by Jesus, I wouldn't say they're every day because they actually said yes when he said come, and I'm not sure I would have. But he spent 3 years with them and he was drip feeding them like milk daily, teaching them. And all the time he was pointing to what was going to happen. And we often speak about they didn't see it coming, even though he was constantly pointing. And by that I mean they didn't see his crucifixion and resurrection coming, because when he was dead and they went to that upper room, they were waiting in fear, not in worship, as we see after he'd shown himself and they waited for the Holy Spirit. But in that upper room, as it tells us in John 20, verses 19 to 23. They waited and waited. Jesus showed himself and he gave them three things. And these three things are the three things that are on offer for us here tonight. He gave his peace, because in the presence of Jesus, there's always peace. He gave his Holy Spirit and the power of forgiveness to forgive others, because our forgiveness was already won at the cross. Because it says in chapter 20, verses 21, and again Jesus said, "Peace be with you, as my Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Why am I bringing that up when we're talking about wanting to sing with all our hearts and live with all our lives? It's that point of, the disciples were with Jesus and they saw him die, and some of them went to check the tomb and had already found that he was alive, and they were all just waiting in this upper room. They didn't know what was going to happen. And he showed up, and he gave them that Holy Spirit. And after that, they understood a lot of what he'd been saying. And I think it's amazing that, you know, through the power of the receiving of the Holy Spirit, the thing we get is the power to forgive, to set others free. And that's what we need to do in our everyday lives. We need to take Jesus, we need to take the Holy Spirit that he's given us and take it out to people to help them, to break them from the chains that they might then see Jesus in us. And that's how we love our neighbor. We also know from Acts that the disciples needed to receive again and again the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit really does figure. If we're going to walk through life, we need to remember to keep going back and getting refilled with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we feel God's not present. We feel we're not feeling powerful. And we need to have a check with ourselves. We need to ask what's the state of our hearts. We need to ask if we're trying to do everything in our own strength and we've forgotten to go back to the source of the power and the peace that comes from Jesus. This all starts with an encounter. And I believe we can only love God with all our hearts and sing with all our hearts and live with all our lives if we're totally surrendered and filled by him. Jesus tells us in John 14, verses 15 to 18, that if you love me and you will obey what I command, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives in you and will be in you, and I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. And later on in verse 23, Jesus says again, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. The word of God is transforming, and if we can read it and get hold of it and let it get a hold of us, the Spirit that's already in us, those of us who've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior and already invited him to come, we give over more of him, more of us to him. We very often talk about, fill me, Lord, I want more of you. The Holy Spirit is a person, and so when you receive him, you get the whole of him. The problem is we sometimes push him into a corner of our lives, into a corner of our hearts, and we need to be more open. And I guess it's no surprise somebody from the ministry team having a talk up here is talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. But I can honestly say that this is all God was saying to me, that I need my people to recognize who I am. And I need my people to desire me enough to give over their lives to me. I need my people to love one another unconditionally as I love them. I need my people to surrender and lay down their lives. I was been reading a book about worshipping God by R.T. Kendall, who started a sermon series from one little verse in Philippians, and it took him on an 18-month sermon series on worship that broke him and brought him back to life again. And in there, it talks about there is only one Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit in me cannot disagree with the Holy Spirit in you. And that's really broken me when I look at the church today, the way that the church can't decide certain things, whether it's scripturally right or wrong. And the fractions that come in churches, the different interpretations for different denominations, but yet there's only one Holy Spirit. And I'm wrestling with that. I am wrestling with that. Because if the Holy Spirit in me does not disagree with the Holy Spirit in another person, either one of us or neither of us, quite possibly, are listening to God. But actually it's flesh, because it's about feelings and what feels good to me. I think that must be from God, but actually it's what I'm comfortable with. It's where my prejudices are. And so it's about God wants us to recognize him. God wants us to recognize him, accept him, and surrender to him wholly. God can only agree with himself. If we look at Ephesians 4, we are called, as Paul writes, to, starting in verse 1, to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One God, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. And Ephesians 4 also tells us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, because he's not called Holy Spirit for nothing. And he can be grieved. If we look in verses 30 to 32, still in Ephesians 4, it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So if we find we have an unsurrendered heart, something blocking our freedom to walk freely, to sing with all of our hearts, tonight's the night to check that. Do we have bitterness, anger, issues towards other brothers, parts of the church, things that really, really get on our nerves, that we just need to let go? Because it's not about us and it's not about them, it's about him. It starts by having a heart as being the place where the Holy Spirit dwells. Some of you may never have prayed to be filled, to receive the Holy Spirit. That's easy enough. We just ask. There is a point in the Bible, in Luke 11, where it says about the fact that we are evil but can give good gifts to our children. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? If you believe that he will give you the Holy Spirit, and just ask and receive, and it will be given to you. And we must never be afraid to ask for the Holy Spirit or to render more of our lives to him or ask for that power to come upon us, because we feel that God is asking us to do something that's just too big for us and we need him to do it through us. Because he'll only give us what we can cope with. I've always said the Holy Spirit is a gentleman and he never forces himself on you or forces anything about him on you. So when we are filled with an unhindered, ungrieved Holy Spirit, we cannot fail to get our worship right. And worship is a 24/7 state of the heart. How we worship in secret is just as important as how we worship in public. I think it's true to say that if our life is in chaos, our worship will be in chaos. If our life is in absolute order, then our worship may be under a cloud or in a box that we only bring out when we feel ready. There's both spectrums, you know. We need to learn to dance with the Holy Spirit, as Louise, I'm sure, will have said. The cooperation of the Holy Spirit is like that dance. And how do we do it, and how do we fulfill what God calls us to do in and around being church? I think basically it comes down to that being part of the body. What's God asking of you tonight? What's God asking you to change? What's God asking you to surrender? What is God asking you to put down? Or if you've come here because life is just so hard and you need more of him, then he says you can have more of him, most definitely. But what God's asking you to do is to be willing to just turn your heart to him, completely and utterly to him tonight. We all come from different places, and that's because we're all individuals, and God wants to meet with us as individuals tonight. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to create some space for that. I'm going to pray, and we're going to listen to a track. It happens to be sung by Lauren Daigle. It's not her song. And if you've not heard of Lauren Daigle, she's got the voice of Adele, but she's a worship singer. So for me, that's like win-win. Because she's got a beautiful voice. But it's not about her. It's about whether you're willing to surrender your heart to Jesus. And in the past, when we've given time to God, we've invited the Holy Spirit and waited and as a group to see what's going to happen. But we're not going to do that tonight. This is about you. Just sitting with God and sitting with your surrendered or unsurrendered heart, with any bitterness you may have, any unforgiveness, any issues that may be coming between you and God. And if it's not, then just sit and just ask him to speak to you as individuals. This is a time for you to spend time with God, because if you're anything like me, when Monday starts, he gets squeezed out. Children start in school and work comes in the way. So now let's just create a bit of time for you to just spend with God. And I've even said to Dan, who's leading worship, that I only want him to get back up and start to play worship when God tells him he can. That we start by surrendering the rest of this service to him. And when worship starts, assuming it will, because God loves us to worship him, that maybe some of us might have reached a different position with the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and we might be ready to worship him through the Holy Spirit. That we won't look behind us to see if anyone's going to notice that I'm going to put my hand up. That we won't look behind us to see if anybody notices I'm doing a bit of a jig. That we won't look around to see what's happening to other people. That if someone at the side of me starts to cry, that's okay, because I've already said, when I meet with the Holy Spirit, the tears come. That's just me. That's just the way God releases things in me. It's about just looking to God and letting everybody else look to God as well. It's about asking him to help us love more. So I'm going to ask Peter if he'll get ready to put on the track. It's called Here's My Heart, Lord, because I believe that's what God's asking, to give him the heart. He'll give it you back so you can sing with it. You can go out of here full of his love to live that life. And if later on you feel you want prayer once the worship's on again, then just come to the back. Alan and I will be available for that. And there's other people from the team, and anyone can actually pray with anyone. There's no magic words. There's nobody with the magic touch. So we bow our heads in prayer. Father God, there are no words that we can speak that can help us to surrender more, other than to say, help us, Lord. Will you rule and reign in our hearts tonight? Will you, Holy Spirit, take back what we've taken from you? Help those of us who have bitterness in our hearts towards anyone, particularly connected with church, connected with our brothers and sisters, family members, Lord. You have forgiven us so much. Teach us to forgive, Lord. Help us to hand over the people we need to forgive to you. I pray, Father, by your Holy Spirit, that you will bring visions to those who need that from you tonight, Lord. I pray protection on people as we wait to hear from you. I pray you'll speak to every single person here, Lord. And for that person who just needs to be held tonight, you will hold them. And that your love does cast out that fear. So Lord, make in us an undivided heart. Make our hearts whole. Make our hearts yours, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.